Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren. It must be a Wicket Wednesday because you got Wicket Michael Hawley here in the room.
That is correct. How you doing, Al?
Well, you know, I'm still fighting the good fight, whatever that is. Anyway, and so we've got an author here, and we've got a book. And this one is certainly covers someone like me. You know, it's called Burying the Newspaper Man. That's something that you do to me. It's a gritty tale of fear and redemption. And, of course, the author is with us, Curtis Eppolito. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Alan.
Hi, Curtis.
Hi, Michael. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Always good to talk to people and writing and stuff. So this is your debut novel. So how did you get into this, you know, unforgiving, awful world of writing?
I think like a lot of people, I grew up reading a lot, loved books as a kid. When I was, you know, a kid, I read a lot of the classics. Being a male, I was drawn to the adventure type genres. So like Call of the Wild and Swiss Family Robinson, books like that. As I got older, I had several people in my life that were into horror. So I read books like Jaws and Misery and The Shining at a really young age.
Oh boy, The Shining, wow.
probably younger than you want a kid to read those books, but I just loved it. Yeah. And so I just always loved books. And when I went to college, I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't know what that meant. And I didn't know how to do that. And so I thought the easiest way to get into an industry where I could write full time was to be a reporter. And so I went to school for journalism, with an emphasis on, news writing. And I went to the University of North Texas in Denton, Texas, which has a really great journalism school, and, just kind of fell in love with journalism. And, it did not thrust me into the world of fiction writing like I thought maybe it would, but it did teach me a lot of things that now, you know, all these years later, when I got back into fiction writing, taught me a lot, you know, things like writing under deadline and being succinct and clear in your writing, being able to focus on the people in your story, you know, because that's a large part of writing features and journalism are the people at the center of the story. So it did teach me a lot. And I was not in the newspaper business very long. I got laid off in 2008, along with like the rest of the country. and kind of took some odd jobs here and there for several years, and then got back into writing for a pediatric hospital, and I wrote features for them. And long story short, found my way from Dallas, Texas to San Diego, and it was just almost 5 years ago now. I switched jobs, and it was just exactly what I needed for my creativity. I found like the job I was in was just so demanding that I had no time for creative output. And once I changed jobs, my creativity just was unlocked, and all these ideas to write things came flooding back in. And I decided to go on a ride along with a police officer in Ocean Beach here in San Diego, and did that over a night, one night. And that's what gave me the idea for my book.
Why is your character a cop? Like, why is there a particular reason to that? Like, why choose this? And you did the ride along, and that kind of influenced the idea, obviously. But is there any reason behind that?
So, like I said, I did that ride along, and there was a critical point in the ride along where we were driving along the ocean, and this officer I was with, he really made it a point to look for stolen cars. He just loved to recover stolen cars. So as we're driving along, you know, he's looking into the computer license plate numbers to see if they're stolen, and he hit on one. And this alarm went off inside the cruiser, and he pulled over, and he's like, all right, you can get outside the car, but you got to stay by the car and observe. And I was just glued. I was just, you know, mesmerized by watching him approach this stolen car and kind of clear the scene. And, you know, he's checking the doors, and then he goes to pop the trunk. And I just got this thought of, what if there was a dead body in that trunk of that car? And there wasn't, but it just got me to think, you know, what if there was? And then what if that body meant something personally to that person recovering it? And in this case, a police officer. And so when I started developing this idea, I knew that the main character would be a police officer because, one, I had that experience, and it was very easy to kind of translate that. But two, I thought, if someone was going to find a dead body in the trunk of a car, and it was someone from their past, and they wanted to find out who the killer was, there's not many people with normal jobs from normal walks of life that could do that investigation. Whereas a police officer, though not maybe a detective like you see in standard PI fiction or standard, police fiction, he would have the tools at his disposal to do that investigation.
Maybe explain to the listeners kind of what the basic premise of the book is, because I think it's a little bit different than the typical story from what I've been reading or been around the last few years, for sure.
So Burying the Newspaper Man is about a police officer, Marcus Kemp, who patrols Ocean Beach here in San Diego. And one day, while on patrol, he discovers a dead body in the trunk of a stolen car. And it so happens that this dead body is the man who abused him as a child. And so Marcus sets off to find the killer, not to bring them to justice, but to help them get away with murder.
Now, see, that's an interesting concept, because first of all, you're dealing with, you know, child abuse, and then getting away with murder, kind of helping someone get off on killing someone that's done something wrong. Wow, that can go real deep and be real touchy in the public. Why that direction? Do you understand why you wrote that kind of a book?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Yeah, you know, I think at first I just had the simple idea of, you know, like I said, like if somebody found someone dead that caused them pain in the past, what they would do. And then from that decision to the next, it just became the case where, well, if someone wants to help a killer get away with murder, there has to be a really good reason. And, you know, as I explored this character, and that's where I landed, was, you know, with this horrible past that Marcus endures. And, you know, when I was first writing it, I thought, you know, it would be a story about revenge or about, you know, justice. And the more that I wrote, and then when I got done writing it, it really dawned on me that what I was really writing was a story about someone trying to overcome their darkest moment in life and try to get past that trauma. So really the book is an exercise of Marcus trying to come to terms with his past and trying to bury that trauma once and for all, which he thought he had.
So therapeutic in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's seeking, you know, closure, and he thought he had it because he had buried his past and just kind of what he thought was forget about it. But then it's all pressed back into his,
repressed it
literally into his face. And he has to, you know, acknowledge it and try to solve that once and for all.
Your main character, Marcus Kemp, who is he to you? Like, what kind of relationship do you think you have with that character?
I think Marcus is a guy that is really well-meaning. He's an introvert, but he cares for people. But I think he's a guy that you would enjoy having a beer with or going surfing with or something along those lines. I think he's a real well-meaning person.
And do you hear him? Do you see him? Do you feel him? Like what? Like what's your relationship like with someone like your main character?
Yeah, it's funny. When I was writing the book, I'd say probably the first half, I just really felt horrible for him, you know, the things I was putting him through. And then in the middle and towards the end of the book is some of the decisions he's making. I'm like, I'm kind of sick of this guy. But I think at the end, and even now, 3 years after the book's been published, I still love that character, and I still love him. And, you know, I do think every now and then, like, I wonder what he's up to. And, you know, everything that I put in the book is as factual as I can get it to San Diego and the area and everything. So when I drive past somewhere that I had him be, or, you know, a pivotal scene, I think, wonder what Marcus is up to these days.
Well, I lived in Coronado for a while when I was in high school. So did he go to Coronado?
No, he didn't get over to Coronado in the book, but I do have another book that I wrote, set at the Dell. So I'll have to send that to you.
Sweet.
Coronado, wait, but you were in there, like, what was that, 1950?
1986, and I'm only 22. See, what happened is when I was about 45, I started counting back. So I'm about 22 now, I think.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, but the body doesn't listen, believe me.
Oh, my gosh, that's true.
When you write a story like this, it's put together well. You're thinking about things and all that. Do you have kind of a subtext or a meaning, or was there something you wanted a reader to take away from the book besides the entertainment part of it?
No. Like I said, I think I started out thinking I was going to be talking about revenge. And then in the end, it really was about overcoming trauma. And so, I think that informed a lot of my, the rewrite and the edits when I went back through that process, was just making sure that the voice was empathetic, so that readers could get a sense that this character is deeply flawed and he's deeply damaged, but he's trying his best and he's doing what he thinks is best for himself and for his loved ones. And so that was as far as I thought, as far as theme or anything for readers to pick up on. I just wanted them to feel as empathetic for Marcus and his plight as I did.
How do you get into the mindset of the abuse and that, to where it sounds, where you can write it, where it sounds authentic?
Yeah, that is a tricky thing. And, you know, I don't pretend to have experienced the same trauma that Marcus did by any means. But, you know, I think all of us experience trauma on varying levels, and, you know, just kind of, you know, thinking how you feel about those events and how you process them yourself. And really it is just thinking through empathetically about that, and so that you can do the best job that you can to honor a character when you're writing about those traumatic things, I think it is very important.
And your setting. Now you said it was important. So do you write your setting as if it's a character too?
I don't think I do on purpose, but I think that's just the way it comes out. I've lived here in San Diego now for 10 years, and I just absolutely love it. And I wish I would have been born and raised here, but I wasn't, so I got a lot of catching up to do. But I think that's my love for it comes out on the page naturally. And I do love writing like setting and description, so I do have to reel that in sometimes. But no, even as great as San Diego is, we do have our social problems, our different, you know, issues like every other American city. So I'm cognizant of that. And then I try to, you know, address those bigger issues as well. So I'm just not like writing some fairy tale about a tropical paradise.
Well, I do remember living there. And my apartment had neither a heater nor an air conditioner because the weather was great all year round.
Yeah.
It just amazed me. And I'm from Buffalo, so we have a huge heater.
And it's still not hot enough because he's getting old, you know, and the circulation goes. And,
he's know. 22, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
22. Last century, he was 22.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah. That's the point is. The whole concept is interesting. Do you think you're going to bring back Marcus as a character again then? Because you still think of him and you still kind of have memories of him that are, I guess, fond in a way?
I'll never say never. I don't have any immediate plans. I was working on an idea for a novel, and the way it worked out, there is an opportunity to bring him in as just kind of an homage and put him on the page in a scene. So I may still do that if I can get that story wrangled and under control.
So still under San Diego kind of background.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Does he have a person that he communicates with and kind of like that therapeutic thing? Does he talk with and speak with, lets them know what he is experiencing?
No, you know, he's a very much a lone wolf, and you know, he has friends and he has an on again off again girlfriend, and he has a mother. And I think that's one of the things what I was saying earlier, where I was like sick of him, was he would not open up to those people and really just tried to take all this on himself.
Don't blame him. I met his mother. So, and when you're writing the violence or the action, maybe, let's say, depending on the scene, mm-hmm. are you conscious about how you write it? Are you thinking about the reader as you write it?
Sure. I'm not a huge violence on the page guy. You know, certain scenes you have to have it because you're writing crime. But yeah, definitely, you know, when I'm writing it, I think the main thing that I try to do is the violence I'm putting on the page necessary for the scene, for the characters, for the reader to understand what's going on. And I really do think less is more in a lot of cases. You know, I'm also a fan of writing violence off the page and exploring more of how the characters deal with the consequences of that violence.
Right. And so more let the imagination mm-hmm. run on some of the violence rather than describe it detailed.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's good too. I mean, some people do it. Some people can do it really well. And bad characters, evil people, the ones that do the bad things, like, you know, Marcus obviously has issues, but when you write a bad character, do you enjoy that?
I don't know. I wouldn't say I enjoy it. Like violence, you have to get it right so you don't make that villain a cartoon character or make him, you know, a cardboard character. You do have to flesh them out, you know, because as the old saying goes, you know, the villain is the protagonist in their own story. So they have a backstory, they have, you know, hopes and dreams. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, in the types of stories we're telling, that those hopes and dreams are twisted. And then you kind of have to explore, well, why did they get twisted? So I wouldn't say it's enjoyable, but yeah, you just have to do it right.
Well, a lot of times it's just describing, because a lot of times your bad character, I think that in their mind, they're doing something good. They're being the good person, or they're doing something right, or they're accomplishing something. And it's describing mm-hmm. that to the reader so they understand why that person feels this way. I think that's the key to it.
Yeah.
You know, in a good bad character, you know, when you started the book and you had the idea and you thought you're thinking of the dead body, back from the initial concept, like, you know, wonder what that would be like, and there was no dead body. But when you were starting that thought and you started putting the book together, and now years later, and it's published and it's out there, did it turn out the way you pictured it at the beginning?
I think more or less it did. Yeah. I think it did.
With the exception that you said that initially you were thinking about a revenge kind of thing.
Right.
Switched.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
How do you think this whole process has changed you? You know, first book, you go through all the experience and getting it out there and doing it and writing it and the good reviews, the bad reviews, you know, dealing with radio people, like all that stuff. At the end of it, how do you think this process has changed you?
Yeah, it's definitely changed me. I'd say when I started writing the book, I had no expectations. I just had this story and I thought, if I don't write this, then I'm a fool and I'm wasting my potential, and I need to write this. And as I was, got past, 25,000 words and then, 30,000 words, and it's growing and looking like it is becoming a book. I'm like, well, if I do finish this, what do I do with it? And my basic thought was, at the very least, I can self-publish it, because those opportunities are plentiful now. And so when I got it, when a publisher bought it and published it, that was just so mind-blowing for me. And then it really just set me off on this path of confidence and wanting to grow my art and to improve, and to where now I have a second book written and I'm querying agents. And, I was thinking about this today when I was taking a walk, is just like how I've put these expectations on myself to get an agent and to get a book published at a bigger publisher. And, 5 years ago, I wasn't doing anything. So it's just, it has changed me, and I want to be an author that is doing this, maybe not full time, because those authors that can do that, it's few and far between. But, I think writing novels is always going to be something I want to do from now on.
You have beta readers?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. I'm actually in a group with three other people. We share our work with each other, three other really strong writers.
Stephen King, who else?
Yeah, Jack Carr, you got all these guys there. Yeah,
well, yeah. My first beta reader is my wife. She takes a lot of pride in reading my short stories and my novels first. Like, I'll send it to her first, and she gets right on it. She wants to read it before any of my other friends or beta readers do.
Well, if she's like my wife, she's dead honest to the point of making me cry.
My wife is honest, but she's not mean at all. But
yeah,
she's given me a lot of great insights, especially when writing women or different things that I'm not as strong on.
Yeah, you need that. You need that input.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're good. Your character will be. It'll fall short because it's not something you are, or you can't really relate to as easily as someone. So it's good to have that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really good to have that. And so what's been the hardest thing for you, being a new writer and getting into it? What's been the hardest thing so far to get through, in your opinion?
If for me, it's been waiting. You just wait and wait and wait at every step of the turn, and I'm a naturally impatient person, and so that's really tough for me. You finish something and you revise it, and then you send it off, and you wait months and months and months to hear anything, and then even if it gets accepted, you wait months and months and months. Here's a great example. I wrote a story in December 2021. A short story, and sent it off to some friends and some beta readers, and got good notes, revised it, and submitted it to Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine. And I waited and waited, and I actually wasn't waiting on them because I thought it was going to be a surefire rejection. And 4 months later, they accepted it, and I was just elated. And then I waited a good year for it to finally publish. And that was an excruciating wait. So I finished the story December 2021, and it published September of 2023.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just a small, this business is just all about waiting.
It's not unusual. And even when you sign with a publisher too, like that, that's just kind of how it is. They've got everything set and planned and laid out, and it's coming out in 15 months type thing. And you're like, wow, Yeah. That is an unusual thing to get into. And so what's your favorite part of writing?
I'd say just the actual writing. Like, when I'm in a groove and I'm getting down 1,000 words a day, or, get a really great scene written, like, there's no greater high for me. Like, that's what I was born to do. So, when I'm in the groove writing, I'm just, I wish I could stay locked in that moment forever,
So no nonfiction for you then?
No, not since my newspaper days, no.
How do you do research for police procedurals or things like that, or kind of getting into the mind of a cop, other than the ride-along, or did you do more ride-alongs?
I did interviews. So just like any good reporter, you just do your interviews and you establish some sources. And I took a couple different cops out for coffee and just kind of asked them all these different questions and scenarios. And is this plausible? Is this plausible? So yeah, it was really just a lot of interviewing.
In the world today, especially in America, the last while, cops and media, journalism, has been kind of under pressure and kind of bad mouth, under attack, kind of in a negative light for a lot of the country. Feel that it's different, that it deserves that kind of reputation, or what's your feeling on that whole thing?
I wouldn't characterize it as bad mouthing or negativity towards the police. I would characterize it as there is a greater scrutiny of their actions right now more than ever, and I think deservingly so. You know, coming from a journalism background, the whole point of journalism is to hold power accountable. And I think that's what our country has been doing with police these last few years, is holding that power accountable. And there's really in our country no greater power than what police forces have. And so I think that that is just and right. Just like any position of power, if you do bad things, you should be held accountable.
Hence the title, Burying the Newspaper Man.
Yeah, where did the title come from? Like, what was the idea behind that?
Yeah, so it's kind of a play on words, is, you know, Mark is trying to bury his past once and for all. And that past is this, the person who abused him was a newspaper editor.
Now, you're talking about doing another book. What's up for you now? What do you got going on?
Yeah, so just querying this new novel. It's called Waves of Burden. It's about a reluctant father-to-be who has to track down his older nomadic foster brother before the ruthless criminal that he stole $100,000 from kills them both. And it's set in San Diego also, and just kind of I think it's a really fun novel of that explores this relationship between these adult foster brothers, and also explores the San Diego area and some of the misgivings we have right now, especially with our bloated housing market and a couple other issues. But so I'm trying to find a good home for that. I find an agent to represent it. And then I've written a few short stories. Got an acceptance not too long ago. And then I'm off to Left Coast Crime here in April, and just trying to keep my name out there. So I appreciate you having me on to help me do that.
Yeah, and Left Coast Crime, of course, some of us from the show will be there. I know there's three of us that will be there anyway, and that'll be interesting. Do you like going to those things?
I do. Yeah, I really like Left Coast Crime. This will be my third one to go to, and it's a great conference. It's real intimate, and get to see everybody and spend time with your friends and favorite authors. It's a really great time.
And so where do you get your influences from? Other authors, or do you get them from people and places and things you've been around?
Yeah, it's just a mix, you know. I'd say probably Dennis Lehane is my biggest writing influence. Love all of his work. And then, honestly, right now, there are just so many great writers on the scene that I'm friends with, or that I look up to that are in our scene, like S.A. Cosby and Kelly Garrett, and Jordan Harper. I mean, there's so many great writers right now, and so there's great influences all around.
And you're supposed to say Michael Hawley and...
Yeah, and Michael Hawley.
There you go. Now, Curtis, that's great.
Yeah, you know, you got to always bring in the host and go, well, of course, you know, your book there, that did it for me.
You can edit that in, right?
Yeah. You know, of course, that's like, that was the best I ever read. You know? So, where do you get your little characters from? Like, do you go out to, like, coffee shops, or you're driving around and you see something and you kind of go, oh, that person's an interesting personality, and do you sort of absorb that into a character?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think all reporters are people watchers, and you just watch people and their characteristics and their mannerisms. Yeah, I'd soak all of that in. And San Diego is great for that. I mean, there's so many unique people here, and you know, so many different walks of life. So you get a great diversity and great opportunities, you know, whether that's at the beach or hiking or, you know, at a ball game, or, I mean, it's just, the city's just rife with inspiration.
Where do people find you? Website? Let's give that out.
Yeah, you can find me on my website, curtisippolito.com. And I'm on Twitter at Curtis9980 and Instagram also, Curtis_SD for San Diego. Find me any of those places.
Well, fantastic. Okay, so now we've got all that. We'll put that up on the website and we'll give it a go and stuff. So good luck on the future, and glad you made the show. It's a very interesting book, so good.
Well, thanks so much, Alan. I appreciate you having me on, and this was a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
Great speaking with you, Curtis.
Yeah, great to speak with you, too.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.